Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence says there are energetic efforts in the U.S. to get the new North American trade deal approved within months. The
Prime Minister and I discussed the whole process of ratification here in Canada and in the United States, and I assured him that the President and I are absolutely determined to work with rank and file in the Congress and the leadership to move the USMCA forward and to move it forward this summer.
What would be the cost of Andrew Scheer's promise to remove federal sales taxes from home heating bills?
It's a political promise in an election year. Scheer first made the promise back in March, and now the bean counters have counted the beans and come up with these numbers.
And concern from Canada over changes to extradition rules in Hong Kong.
We're in a moment where like-minded nations like Canada, the United States, and many of our European and international partners have expressed their dismay with the way China is stepping forward more assertively and indeed aggressively on the international stage.
It's Friday, May 31st. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by author and op-ed columnist for the Chronicle Herald, Dan Legere. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, Mark.
U.S. Vice President Mike Pence was in Ottawa yesterday meeting with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. They talked about China and Huawei, and they talked about getting the new North American trade deal approved as soon as possible. What do you take away from what the leaders were saying at this this mini summit of sorts?
Well, I mean, you know, anytime there's a bi-state meeting of this type at a high level, obviously Mike Pence is not the president, and with the current administration, what anybody other than the president says has to be taken fairly guardedly because it may not, you know, have much follow through. But Pence certainly is trying to move Canada down the line to oppose Huawei on the next generation of wireless. This is a major issue, of course. It's been going on for months, and that has led to a really bad souring of relations between Canada and China. Some of this we're doing at their behest, as your listeners will recall, that Canada picked up the daughter of the founder of Huawei, Meng Wanzhou, back in December in order to, at a U.S. request for extradition because they were accused of breaking sanctions. So it's a complicated matter, but Canada has ended up in the middle and with very little obvious support from the Americans in the sense that we've stuck our neck out, we've detained this lady, and the Chinese have been retaliating against Canada up and down the line. I do sense that Canada is trying to be an honest broker in this thing, but the patience of the feds must be really sorely tested by now, because the Americans are moving so slowly on this case. And meanwhile, it just gets worse and worse between Canada and China. And I do appreciate perhaps that Mr. Pence felt that he was able to reach out a little bit in that regard, but I think something a bit more tangible than a nice statement and a handshake is what's required to help us through this problem with China.
Yeah, and meanwhile, on the trade front, I find it interesting because it's Mike Pence coming to Ottawa as though, on some level, not to read too much into it, but as though Canada needs to be convinced to pass the North American trade agreement, when in fact it's Congress in the United States where the biggest obstacle probably remains.
Oh, absolutely. And that was always the issue, I think, right from the get-go on this. I mean, you know, you'll recall, of course, that the NAFTA negotiations took place because Trump had made a campaign promise and had denounced the deal and said how terrible it was. So, the negotiators, I think, tried to proceed in good faith, but it was always a major question whether they would be able to get it ratified in the really badly divided and partisan atmosphere of the U.S. Congress. And, there's a lot of leery Democrats. The Democrats are not really a free trading party per se. They have to be convinced of the benefits of this sort of thing. So, yeah, I think the problem was always going to be in the U.S. Congress. You know, the Trudeau government has a majority, and there isn't a lot of pushback against the changes to this new NAFTA in Canada. So I don't think it'll be a problem here. I think it'll get through in Mexico from what I've been able to understand. But whether it ever gets through the U.S. Congress is a major question mark that is unresolved at this time.
All right, let's talk about Andrew Scheer's latest promise, which has now been costed out. He has said he will remove the GST and the HST, the federal sales tax, from home heating bills. And it appears as though that's going to cost over $1 billion. It'll save the typical homeowner something like $117 a year. What do you make of this promise and how it fits into the platform that Andrew Scheer has been outlining over the last few weeks?
Well, you know, this is a subsidy. You know, I'm sure the Conservatives wouldn't like to call it that, but what it is a subsidy on home heating costs. You know, these things generally tend to benefit wealthier families or wealthier households, shall we say, because they spend more on it. I mean, if there's a cap of 117, then a lot of rich people are going to get the cap, all the way up to the cap, and a lot of others who have to scrimp and save and keep the doors closed and the thermostats turned down may not save as much. But this, you know, it's a political promise in an election year. Scheer first made the promise back in March, and now the bean counters have counted the beans and come up with these numbers. You know, I think you're in the auction period, I like to call it, Mark, before an election, when the parties start, you know, auctioning off the federal treasury to various voter groups around the country. And I think this is something that's clearly aimed at Ontario, where heating costs have gone crazy in the past few years with power bills. And, you know, so this is the pre-election phony war period, and a lot of promise making is going to take place now. And so, you know, it doesn't sound like a conservative type policy until you look at the type of demographic and voter groups that it would appeal to.
Yeah, I suppose they would argue it's a conservative policy because it's a tax cut, right? It's an elimination of a tax, basically.
Sure. It's an elimination of a tax that everybody pays fairly, and that, you know, results in a subsidy. So, I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at it. If you know, the Conservatives are saying they're going to reduce the gas and gradually end the deficit. You know, at my recollection, the only Conservative balanced budget in living memory practically was that the very last one of the Harper years, when they sold $300 million or so of GM stock that they had just to balance up the numbers. So you know, again, phony war pre-election, and everyone should take these things with a grain of salt.
All right, let's talk about a couple of other stories. There have been changes made or are about to be made in Hong Kong to extradition rules. And obviously, there are many people around the world, including here in Canada, who are concerned about the implications of this because, and we don't have to point to any example beyond the situation involving two Canadians who are detained in China, that if Hong Kong if the rules in Hong Kong are looking more and more like the rules in China, that is cause for concern for human rights advocates.
Yeah, and it's going to go that way, I think, more and more as Beijing and the regime there tightens its grip on Hong Kong. I mean, Hong Kong is an immensely wealthy enclave. It has the type of global business connections that are difficult to achieve for other parts of China. But it's quite clear that Chairman Xi and his cronies, the board of directors that runs China, are clamping down in all aspects of what we would think of as human or civil rights. And I think it is a genuine cause for concern. They've been a little bit more liberal, shall we say, in their treatment of Hong Kong, and now they've clearly signaled, I guess, that that's going to stop. And the pervasive security state that the Chinese have established on the mainland is likely to be extended there, and that could well have big impacts on Canadians and Canadian businesses operating in that part of the world.
Yeah, let's finish off with a story about apparent threats from Irving over efforts by reporters to find out more information about shipbuilding contracts. This is a fascinating story, and the federal procurement minister was weighing in on it yesterday. What's going on here?
Yeah. Well, it appears, according to the government at least, that they're under some sort of contractual obligation to let Irving know when reporters come nosing around looking for information on the massive multi-billion dollar shipbuilding contracts that Irving has landed with the federal government and the Navy. And, you know, they evidently, the feds did pass on this type of information to Irving. The Irving family, if you want to call it that, or the Irving Empire, shall we say, is notoriously litigious. It does sue people. It does threaten to sue people. They're not really particularly subtle. You know, it's a family business which does not report publicly, so we don't really know much about the internal workings of the Irving Empire. You know, I've been covering this company for my entire life, and they're no more transparent now than they were in the 1970s when I first wrote a story about them. So they're, you know, this is an odd and very unusual contractual obligation, if it's actually there and interpreted correctly among the feds, of passing on information to a corporate entity about reporters and the matters they're seeking information on. It's a lot of strange stuff going on in this whole contract. You know, there's another side story I see today. The Globe did a good job digging this one up, where Irving's was claiming a French fry plant in Alberta as an industrial benefit and spinoff from the shipbuilding contracts. That one is an eyebrow raiser, to say the least. But it is immensely complicated, and this shows yet again, I think, Mark, that there's a sad lack of transparency in this whole process. And really, given the amount of money, the taxpayer money that's on the line, I think they really owe it to everyone to be a lot more upfront about what's going on in this contracting issue with the Irvings.
All right. Good stuff, Dan. Great to have your comments on all of this today. Thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, Mark. Take care.
That's Dan Legere, author and op-ed columnist for the Chronicle Herald.
There is absolutely no room in a peaceful and free country like Canada for intolerance, racism, and extremism of any kind.
Now, here's what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In the Toronto Star, Thomas Walkham argues Andrew Scheer's big policy reveals are a lot like Justin Trudeau's. Walkham writes, Andrew Scheer is a fan of free trade. Like Justin Trudeau, he is in no hurry to eliminate fiscal deficits. And in foreign affairs, Scheer, like Trudeau, would side with like-minded liberal democracies. On immigration, Scheer and Trudeau are more in step than either would like to admit. With his quintet of policy speeches, Scheer hopes to set the record straight. He's neither a hardliner nor a nut. Truth be told, his views are a lot like Trudeau's. In Maclean's, Andrew McDougall argues, the Liberals rallying around abortion is a sure sign that something has gone wrong. McDougall writes, Canadians deserve better than these desperate and pathetically obvious stunts. Justin Trudeau is practicing the very fear and division that he railed against in 2015. It's time to think up a new approach, because the current path is destined for failure. The trouble with making somebody out to be a horrible, backward monster is they don't have to do much to show people they aren't, in fact, a horrible, backward monster. Now, let's look at what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. It's a big day for the NDP as the party unveils its Green Plan. CPAC's Martin Stringer has more.
Mark, NDP leader Jagmeet Singh will be in Montreal, accompanied by his Quebec lieutenant, Alexandre Boulris, where at 10 o'clock Eastern Time, they will unveil the party's Green Plan. Party supporters have been touting this as a significant moment and a major policy rollout. It's significant that it should be done in Montreal, as Quebec has very solid environmental credentials, and in the past by-elections, the Green Party support has been climbing rapidly there. This policy will be an essential part of the NDP's appeal to voters, and also may be a crucial element if it hopes to avoid seeing its own vote erode to the federal Green Party. The Greens have seen a rapid growth in support, and they've been bolstered by recent developments such as electing their second MP and forming the official opposition in PEI. For the NDP, the party hopes to sell itself as being the most attractive option for defenders of the environment on the federal level.
Thanks, Martin. Also today, the Prime Minister will be in Quebec City to deliver a keynote address at the Federation of Canadian Municipalities annual conference. Minister of Infrastructure François-Philippe Champagne, Minister of Family Jean-Yves Duclos, and Minister of Rural Economic Development, Bernadette Jordan, will also attend the conference. The Prime Minister will also have meetings with the mayors of Laval, Calgary, Winnipeg, and Markham before taking part in a roundtable discussion with municipal leaders. Conservative leader Andrew Scheer will make a speech, also at the annual conference of the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau will make an announcement in Sherbrooke, Quebec. National Revenue Minister Diane Leboutillier will be in Hamilton, Ontario, to mark the wrap-up of the 2019 tax filing season. In Toronto, Minister of Sport Kirsty Duncan will announce funding to expand physical activity programming in Indigenous communities. Minister of Transport Marc Garneau will make an announcement in Montreal. Public Services Minister Carla Quattro will make an announcement in Moncton, New Brunswick. Employment Minister Patty Haidu will attend an infrastructure event in Thunder Bay, Ontario. Innovation Minister Navdeep Bains will make an announcement in Mississauga, Ontario. And Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale will visit the University of Regina. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Friday, May the 31st. Tune into Primetime Politics Weekend on CPAC for coverage of all the week's events. Our podcast returns Monday morning. Have a great weekend.